ready? All right, we'll call the community development meeting to order. Item two, public comment. Any public comment? See any? Item three, FBO contract issues. And I see Mr. Curry and Mr. Little, the airport commissioner here. Do you want to come up to the table?
I can do that.
Okay.
I can get up. I just called a little while ago, and as far as I know, we can sit? Okay. As far as I know, there is no insurance on the FBO. He told us last night at our meeting that he had a person who's going to join his outfit, and I was told that he didn't care to, but he said that he had insurance, and all he had to do was, when you were there, all he had to do was wait till today to get the okay or the paperwork from the insurance.
The binder?
Yeah.
And we did get a binder for insurance today.
You did?
Yes. It does not meet our contractual limits for liability. Our city clerk was gone today, and he is the one that would typically review those insurance policies for adequacy, so he has not seen it. We do not have an official evaluation of the policy, but quick reading by myself shows that he's light in at least one category by $1 million in coverage. And that's not statutory coverage, it's the coverage that we require in our FBO agreement. We also got a copy of a letter from MnDOT Aeronautics stating that they sent a letter to Mr. Cruz last week telling him that they knew that his insurance had been canceled and that he was prohibited from operating, and his commercial operations license has been revoked. And it says, please cease your activities unless and until a new license has been obtained. And he cannot rent or lease any aircraft as a commercial operator until he gets his license renewed, and I have no idea where he's at as far as that goes, but here's the general.
Bruce, you said sent the letter to me.
No, sent the letter to Brian.
Maximum Cruz.
The Maximum Cruz.
You said Mr. Cruz.
The other M. Cruz.
There you go.
Maximum Cruz, yes. And, you know, it's obvious looking at this that there are a couple issues with the insurance. He does have a binder for 90 days. That's the extent of it. And I believe what the airport commission told me the other day was that was their expectation, that he would provide proof of insurance by today. He has done that. We don't know if it's adequate. It's still up to the council to make a decision as to whether or not they wish to proceed with Mr. Nagin as the FBO. You've all been provided with a fairly lengthy summary of violations of the contract or items of default under the contract, as well as timetables for curing those defaults. In the opinion of staff, we're not really making any progress. I don't know that anybody's got any information about who he's brought in as a partner. We've seen no evidence of that happening other than what Mr. Cruz has told us. And my concern is that going forward, we're just not going to see any changes.
So I thought he was going to be coming here to the meeting.
I had anticipated the same. Mr. Cruz is not always the best at attending meetings that are set up.
Yes. Mr. Nagin.
Mr. Nagin.
Mr. Nagin. God. Yeah, forget it. Larry Cruz, Pablo Cruz, I can't keep this straight. Mr. Nagin has missed a few meetings that Larry has set up, and in my opinion, just does not seem to take the whole process seriously. He has obviously made an attempt with his insurance, but will not, or has not provided us any of the information we requested about who his partner will be and what we can expect going forward as far as changes to the operation. Anything that would make us feel more comfortable with continuing the contract. Now, obviously, his license with MnDOT Aeronautics is another issue, but I believe that pertains specifically to his ability to lease and rent aircraft, not to perform FBO duties as far as maintenance on the field.
Audrey?
That was my question, is I was just scanning the contract, if there was something in there that required him to have that license in our contract.
He's required to be, he's required to have a plane available for ramp and flight training purposes. So the fact he cannot provide that is another evidence of, evident of default, incident of default.
Andrew?
Bruce, were there any, I believe it was discussed at the commission meeting that also, along with the 90 days of required insurance, specific paperwork was to be provided regarding that policy's retroactivity covering E&O going back to when the policy was canceled in January?
It does not. The policy, the binder he provided us today is for the period May 25th to August 25th. So he has no coverage from January 22nd to May 25th.
Does
so he's got a four-month gap.
Does it say that, or is that?
Is it a different company than before?
No. This specifies policy dates, and it does not say that there's any retroactivity.
Well, you'd have to look at the policy, I think. I don't know if you can determine that. That's my thought.
Well, yeah, we never get the policy. Yeah. We get the binder and
proof of insurance. For the record, it was told to the commission on Tuesday that there was specifically a provision as to retroactivity of that.
Yeah, there was definitely a concern with regards to liability for that period where insurance may or may not have been in effect. But I guess, yeah, Council Member Johnson's correct. You can't necessarily tell by looking at the binder.
So has the Airport Commission had any concerns then?
We've had concerns that have been brought up to us, and he said the other night that he would have this coverage to the for 90 days, and then the council would make a decision. And we voted that we would go along with the council about the decision that they would make, but either keeping them on or not.
Tim?
What's the last financial information we have from Axman Cruise?
With regard to paying for fuel, paying for rent, those types of things?
His financial statements, disclosures about his finances.
He's late, negligent with filing all his reports.
Well, have we asked for him? I mean, the way I read this contract, it says they shall furnish evidence as may be reasonably requested by the city. And I just was curious to know what the most recent was we had the most recent request.
I don't recall that a specific request has been filed for anything that's not mandated by the contract.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just, you know, when we're talking about performance here, it'd be nice to know what his ability is. I mean, we're seeing some defaults, and he cures them, but I mean, you know, if we had a financial statement or disclosure from him, we'd have some idea about what's his ability in the future going to be. I mean, that, which is, because we're now sitting here, we don't know. We got to redo the insurance policy a little closer. I understand that. And that apparently is done by Kevin, I presume.
Yes.
If I remember your remarks.
Audrey?
There was a statement made at the last community development meeting about that he wasn't able to purchase fuel, that some other party was purchasing fuel. Is that acceptable to our contract? And that would, I mean,
it's not prohibited in the agreement. In my opinion, it just adds one more layer to the process and causes the price to be higher because of that. Earlier this week, we were without jet fuel at the airport, which is somewhat concerning to LifeLink. It did get, I think we were without for one full day, and it did get filled the next day, but a notam was issued so that people would be aware that there was no jet fuel in our airport. To me, that's embarrassing.
Is there a reason why we can't take it over, fuel?
We can take over everything.
Wow, this is ridiculous. I've heard where pilots out there have to give him money so he can buy the fuel. I mean, I've had a lot of phone calls from pilots out there. They say he's a good mechanic, but he's a terrible businessman. And he's not doing us a favor by bringing in any planes. I mean, we set this meeting up so we could talk to him, and he doesn't even show up, so I don't know how seriously he's taking this. But we got a pretty nice airport out there. It's being driven in the ground. It's time for a change. Audrey?
One of the concerns we expressed at the last meeting was kind of, you know, the communication part of it. But we also, I think, talked very clearly about where we want to be, what the airport needs. And so I guess my concern is that that we take the appropriate steps now to deal with this and help the airport get to what it needs to be, because I've heard enough complaints about different things that I guess I'm a little bit taken back that it's been going on this long, and with that. And so what steps do we put in place to get this to the level that the people using the airport want and need? And you're correct. No fuel out there is not acceptable. No fuel, no insurance. You know, it isn't a way to do business. So I don't know. If this was the first time and we were giving him a second chance, but I don't know that we can afford to give him a second chance right now.
I would state that I don't think this is the second chance. I mean, that's just look at the documents that Megan put together, and you can see what we've been dealing with. There's just an ongoing pattern of failure to meet his obligations under the agreement. It wasn't until it became a clear liability issue for the city that we really thought we were losing ground with Mr. Nagin.
Well, I said that a second chance because I think we were made aware of it at the last community development meeting. Mm-hmm. So we made a decision to do so. We didn't do it at the council table. That's why I'm saying This is our second chance to deal with this, because we weren't made aware of all of this before.
Pat?
Well, I would say that the fuel is one thing. Flying overhead, you want to come in and get fuel and see a notam that says no jet fuel. But to me, the bigger concern is that when he works on an airplane, and you made the statement, but I made it the other night, we all know that he's been a good mechanic, but he's one poor businessman. So that plane goes out of there that he's worked on as a mechanic, and he's the only one out there. He doesn't have another employee, and that man or woman on the way home crashes, he's liable. I mean, when you're a mechanic, you sign off on the work you've done on that airplane, and basically you're responsible. And so the other night, if you remember, I asked Dr. Thatcher, because he really got on my case about my coming to this meeting, that the commission didn't know anything about it. And so I asked him there, I said, now, and Brian was sitting at the end, I said, can you tell me that if you would have known that he didn't have insurance that would cover you when it's Europe and enough that you would have stole? Or give me a yes or no, however I asked that question. And he said, no, I wouldn't have gone there. So.
I think the liability issue goes far beyond the concept of physical liabilities for the facilities out there, and without insurance in place for that 4-month period, I believe the city does possibly have some liability. And obviously I'm not going to offer a legal opinion, but we would be involved regardless of what happened. That ball would roll downhill until it hit the city, and that's where it would stop.
Andrew?
Just wanted to bring up one point. Tim was also at the commission meeting, and I guess the topic was brought up, when was the city made aware of the insurance issue, and there was some discussion there in terms of what was that insurance company's role in all this and whatnot. And I just want to present a question. Is it possible that that insurance company knew of the cancellation and sent notice of the cancellation to an address other than the city offices.
I would imagine it's possible. I don't know why they would have, because on any of the binders where we're named as a second insured or an additional insured, they have the city hall address, so that should be automatic. What is somewhat frustrating is the fact that we don't know if they notified MnDOT 5 days ahead of their canceling his insurance as required by state law. So we know we weren't notified 10 days in advance according to our FBO agreement, but that's really going to play second fiddle to his responsibility to MnDOT Aeronautics. And the failure for the insurance company to meet some of their obligations probably creates some issues for them as well, if anything ever does arise. I mean, basically, I'm looking back at the 4 months he was without insurance and say, okay, it appears we dodged a bullet. We're not aware of any incidents, any claims, any anything. Whether or not that turns out to be true in the long run, I don't know.
And I don't know, excuse me, Audrey, I don't know when the plane goes out of here, which I don't know how many he's had in the last 4 months, but let's say it reaches its home destination. Does that end his liability? I wouldn't think so. But
not if you could trace it back definitely to the work he's done. I'm sure that liability is going to go with him for a certain period of time.
Based on the research that I did, it goes back to the latest entry in the logbook to the last mechanic to work on that item and sign off on that item as being airworthy.
Well, that's him. That would be him.
That would be the case.
Mr. Little, do you have anything to add?
I think Pat's covered it well, and and Bruce has covered it well, so no, I don't have anything more to add. But the liability thing is, you know, that's what brought it all to a head here, and I certainly hope that he gets taken care of.
So if we do take over the fuel, how will that operate then?
Can I make a suggestion? Bruce brought that up the other night. In the future, I don't think the fuel tanks should be taken away from the FBO. They're the ones that have to go out and fuel the planes. They have to make sure it's up to here, there, wherever. So I don't think that should go back to the city. I know you get a fuelage flow, but I think that should be a little incentive to whomever might be coming in as the next FBO. So I would not want to see that.
And I would agree with that. I would want to keep that language in the agreement. I think there's room for negotiations on the fuel flowage reimbursement to the city. It's been extremely lucrative for the FBO, less so when you've got to have people buy the fuel for you. But I think Rick's asking about in the short term. In the short term, it would be up to the city and the person that we have out there overseeing field operations, Mr. Runnigan, to keep track of the fuel levels. And if they drop to a certain point and we don't have an FBO agreement in place, the city will have to purchase that fuel. Obviously, it'll be sold and will be reimbursed. So that's a bookkeeping issue we'll have to deal with. But I think in the interim, the city's quite capable of managing the fuel supply out there.
Is that credit card or how?
It's credit card on the Hunter Lowland, and we're trying to, we've got it in the budget this year to do credit card readers on the jet. So it's in the CIP. And Megan is working to get quotes to get that system installed.
Okay. Audrey?
I just have a question on the date of the contract that you sent us is April 4th, 2016.
Yep.
Which is after what you told us there was no insurance coverage. So, I mean, we talked about renewing Rundigan's contract, so this contract was just signed April 16th?
What it did was it reduced this change here because we still had to have a valid contract to operate. This just reflects a couple of changes in reimbursement to him. It reduces the reimbursement to the FBO.
But we went ahead and renewed this contract with him? I mean, April 4th? Of 2016?
We were bound by the contract, giving him 30 days to cure the default.
Didn't his contract run till December 31st, 2019?
Something like that, yeah.
But why did we have to approve Rundigan's renewal of the contract and not this one?
Well, they're two separate.
Yeah, they're two separate. They do two separate things. Yeah. I mean,
so the council didn't have to approve the renewal of this contract?
This was, according to the city attorney, we just changed the compensation. We reduced the compensation because there'd been some questions about the work he was doing that specifically benefited the city and how we calculated the rent contributions.
So we didn't change the timeframe of the contract, or we did change the time?
No, the timeframe did not change.
So this was just an adjustment to the existing contract, which ends when?
I believe the end of 2019.
12/31/19.
Okay.
Yeah, if we'd have seen 30 days expire before this, I would have never supported executing any changes, because he would have proven that he was still in default, and at that point, we would have probably moved even quicker to get him, to get this matter brought to a head. But when you've got so many people involved, like MnDOT Aeronautics, insurance companies, the FBO, and they all have different responsibilities for notification, it can be a real challenge to try to find out where a particular issue is in a process. And all I can say is staff did its best in trying to track this thing, and when it became evident that we had a clear violation and we were not getting the default cured, that's when it was brought to the council.
Andrew?
Thanks. In my mind, given all of the information and given some factual information that's come to light based on the commission meeting the other day and today and further research, I think the issue and what needs to be done has gotten even clearer. But I think the problem, we got two issues to tackle. The first one is this issue, the specific issue that's on the table, but then two, we have to learn from this experience, and what can we do preventatively to ensure that next go around it's not going to happen again. And I think that's probably a bigger fish to fry, so to speak. I think it's going to take a little bit of work on our end to figure that out. I personally would like to see the commission as a more active body in terms of how, you know, airport functions and how this is all, you know, how everything's operating, and so that if something like this were to come up in the future, if the commission had been more involved in this process along, I don't think we would be here discussing this today. Now, just how we decide to structure that is on us. But I do believe it's probably something that should be looked at.
So in the previous commission meetings, there was no complaints ever brought up, or?
We've heard the old Navy slang scuttle, but for a long time, of things going on or not going on, but we didn't know anything definite. Nothing was, I talked to Bruce a long time ago about these contracts, and I can see that we as a commission shouldn't sit down and say, you need this in the contract, although it would not be, you just mentioned it would be pretty nice to have us in on the loop. Now we're gonna, let's say this all happens and he's done tomorrow. We're gonna be out there looking for FBOs, and we might have two or three that are interested, and if they are, we as the commission would like to know what's going on.
Sure. Yeah, we all need to be informed on a regular basis.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, I think once more, I think the commission can be a real asset, because they can collect and gather information on a ground level, because they're, you know, heavily involved in a lot of day-to-day stuff, and then it just seems to me like the process of everything could be a little bit more clear. And it seemed like, you know, an issue like this, one of the reasons that it gets so difficult to deal with is it seems like all of a sudden it happens really fast, and then, you know, it pops up and some people are surprised by certain information, and when people get caught off guard, it makes them react, sometimes, you know, based on uncomfortability, and then the chain of events that follows is really uncomfortable for everybody. So I feel like make a better process and we can avoid some of all this. But in, like I said before, this seems like a pretty clear-cut deal in my mind now.
Part of the issue all along has been we've not had good luck with getting operational reports filed consistently. And again, it goes back to the overall qualifications as a business person and him taking the time to do it and making a priority to adhere to the contract, and it's obvious that hasn't been there.
Yeah.
Have we given the required 30 days written notice of termination?
He was notified more than 30 days ago that if he did not provide the insurance and cure all the defaults within 30 days, that he would be subject to termination.
And that was written notice?
Yes.
And who sent that?
I would have to check the file.
Can I speak just a bit? A week of Saturday, my wife and I were headed to Fairmont. I have a sister that's having a problem down there. We had a 12 o'clock appointment. I got a call from a very irate pilot because there was no gas. He wanted to know why in the hell, please don't put that in there, why in the heck didn't I, as chairman of the airport commission, know what was going on? And that's when I called Bruce to set up a meeting, and I went there with, for myself, not for the commission. I was not able to speak for them as a whole, so people are frustrated.
Letter was sent March 24th by the city, so that's more than 30 days in advance, and the final sentence in here was cancellation or termination of insurance policies required by Article 4.3 of the FBO agreement is cause for termination, and this matter will be forwarded to the city attorney for action if not complied with. She basically, Megan had cited the agreement's requirement for insurance and telling him he had to provide us with the insurance required under the contract or under the agreement, and if he didn't, it's subject to termination. So to me, this clearly would serve as that warning of termination.
So at the last community development meeting, you shared that an email had been sent to the city attorney asking him to start the process of termination. Is that correct?
We had sent an email to the city attorney asking him what the process was and to initiate it, and he responded and said it requires council action to do it. We were under no pretense that we could do it administratively. We knew it had to
be. I didn't mean it that way, but I was trying to clarify with, if we now vote and to do this, then you're saying that the time frame is such that the day we vote that he could, it could be terminated?
In the best of my opinion, yes.
Okay.
He was the recipient of a letter stating a deadline. He failed to meet the deadline. That letter was issued more than 30 days ago, and he was told that he could be, that he was subject to termination if he didn't comply. So I would think that that meets the requirements under the agreement.
I would think that if he really was intent of staying here as FBO, he would have been sitting here tonight fighting like hell to get his job, keep his job. I don't understand. I have nothing against him personally, but I don't understand it as a business person. Any one of you in here, you do the same thing, you'd be out in a short time. It's not the right thing to do.
So what would the committee like to do?
I'll make a motion to terminate the agreement effective immediately.
I'll second it.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming today and serving on the Airport Commission. And remember, you're not a rubber stamp. If there's issues out there, let us know.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, then.
And I think we have a good person as our liaison for us. So anyway,
that's very nice
to meet you.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Here's another fun one then, hazardous building declaration.
810 Campbell Avenue. This is an issue that went before the committee last fall. We sent a letter out to the individual telling him he had to either repair it or demolish it. He came in and pulled a demolition permit, did very little to it. It's still sitting there in a very dilapidated state. A portion of one wall is knocked out. The roof is caving in. It's a recommendation of staff that we seek an order, or that the council issue an order to, within 20 days, either repair it and make everything up to code, or have it demolished. It's the same action we took for 944 Olaf, which, by the way, has been filed with the courts, so we'll be there soon.
Question on the record, is there some problem with our notices? I mean, getting compliance seems to be difficult, so I just wonder, we need a different colored paper, or?
They're all written in the King's English, Councilmember Johnson, so I don't, you know, and this particular person owns a property and a business next door, and he came in and he said, I'll have it all done by November, I'll have it fenced, because I won't get the hole filled, and I said, that's fine. So, we gave him a shot, and he's.
It's just, I mean, I'm not surprised.
I'll make a motion.
Work out ideally.
Follow staff's recommendation to declare the building as a hazardous building and order repair for demolition.
Second.
Second.
Demolition.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, that carries, good luck on that one.
We'll talk to you again next year.
He was camping next to it last year.
Yeah, if you looked at this building, I think two guys with a maul could take it down in an hour. I mean, it's that bad.
It's scary.
There's another house on Fifth Street, 1305, the yellow one, right south of the entrance into the.
He camps down.
I'm glad you brought that up.
They just mowed it.
Yep.
Because it was pretty tall, but that looks like heck too.
I can't speak officially, but I believe ACMC is in the process of acquiring that, and we'll have that demolished short term.
They need more parking for there.
For the surgery center, yes. So, yeah, that's another one we've had discussions with the property owners on before.
Any updates on anything good?
Some positive, come on.
Hey, we got the closing set with Dooley's for June 7th, assuming the business subsidy agreement is approved on the 6th. And I got that from Robert this afternoon. I will be sending copies out to the council after I've taken a look at the draft, so you should have those tomorrow. We continue to move forward on the Y project. We've got a public participation meeting tomorrow. I've begun discussions with BNSF and MnDOT regarding transfer of right of way. Have made it clear to BNSF that any transfer of right-of-way is contingent upon them satisfying the city's spur access requirement.
They didn't have any problem with that?
I believe it's understood.
Good.
So, they are looking at some alternatives. We got a plat filed for the commercial project that's going to go on down by Runnings. There's some small trading of small tracks that's going on there, and to make it clean, we're just gonna, I told them that they can go ahead and do the small track trading, but we expect to see a plat, and if they have a plat filed and the county recorder's office calls with questions about these small parcels that they're trying to trade, I can at least tell the county recorder's office it's okay, because we've got a plat application that's been filed. So it's all been surveyed, and we'll be doing a preliminary plat and a final plat all in one chunk, and that should be completed by the council in June, and all the dirt work should begin right after then.
So no name yet?
No, the plat's been filed in the name of two development companies, not in the name of the eventual owner of the property.
Okay.
So.
Hush, hush, huh?
I'm not really sure why.
Yes. Anything else?
Randy said something about the state gave the school project to us.
Yes, we've been getting all the state projects, which the state doesn't have to give us, but because we have the capacity to do that, we've gotten the armory project, all the school projects. I think there was another college project. All the governmental stuff that comes up that the state could do themselves, they've been leaving with the city, so I mean, if nothing else from a revenue standpoint, it helps. We got a big change going on in the back of Menards, about $1 million worth. They're gonna take that fenced in area and roof over a big chunk of it and change everything around back there. I think that's about a $1.2 million deal.
What about flooding then?
Flooding? All the stormwater stuff is being addressed in the review.
Okay.
What are they gonna put back there?
Mostly the stuff they've already got back there, they just wanna put it under a roof. You know, at the south end, they've got that big building you can drive through. This is gonna be a similar type of thing where you can come in both ends and come out the middle. Just getting more under roof.
Sun's pretty tough on it.
We've had quite a few housing permits issued in the last few weeks and we've got more plans in. I think we gotta be pushing 20 new homes here, which is good. Other than that, a good share of my time is consumed by the airport and by the Y project and Dooley's, but those are good things. So move ahead and get this stuff figured out and get going in the right direction.
And you're busy with the CIP?
Thank you. Yes, next week we'll have our CIP review and we'll be able to rank everything and have that information available to the council by the end of next week. Probably go with, I'm not sure how we really provide it other than we give it to the mayor for use in the budgeting process and then the council will see it through that process. I think we will see a major reduction in CIP dollar request for next year. We'll have a little bit of a break and we'll give the council a chance to catch their breath and decide that they maybe want to take some more of that money and throw up pavement management, the street side of things.
And the open house or the public for the local option sales tax, how did that go?
Well, we had 26 residents about attended two sessions.
26 total or 26 total. In each one?
Total, yeah.
Okay.
And then there's, I think, 12 and 7 staff and council between the two of them. So.
Okay. I know I went on and did the survey. Heard Matt Johnson talking about it, so I figured better. Anything else from anybody?
I have one addition to the agenda.
Okay.
Just back to the CIP, are we addressing the auditorium next year?
What part of it?
The fact that there is an air conditioning in there.
That has been listed for 2017.
Okay. Second thing, I'd like to go back to what Andrew brought up about the airport commission. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the right avenue to have that conversation about what those boards and commissioners do. With that, I've taken some concerns from, and I think Tim has too, from the advisory board out at the community center. I think there's ongoing concerns with community and rec, how we address budgeting and, you know, some of those things and what gets run by them and what doesn't and, you know, what the function of it is. And we did strategic planning with community and rec a couple years ago and really haven't done some things since then with that. And now the airport commission, I think kind of that role of what, you know, what should they be doing? So I don't know where that fits into our structure or with that, but I think it would be helpful to review that and to, you know, maybe pick up the pace with some of them as far as their input.
You mean review it as a committee or
well,
as
I don't
a
know
retreat
that if it's this committee or
council.
Where that belongs.
I think you need to have everyone.
I do too. I'm not saying it should be at this committee. I'm just saying since Andrew brought it up regarding the airport commission, I think there's more than just the airport commission that should be reviewed and that we should find a way to do that as a council.
Well, I echo that. I think if you're going to have boards and commissions and committee, if you're going to be using that structure, then let's try to use it to its fullest and its let's try to use those entities as assets. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because then we can get good feedback and we can just use it as a better monitoring system for all the city's structures and services and all that. And I just feel like we can do a better job at that But it's going to take council action likely to, yeah, to review it, to decide, okay, now what should the role of these things be, and then how is it going to be implemented? And like I said, I think we can do a better job, but I don't think it's insurmountable.
I agree. I think there's some, you know, some of the people that serve on these boards and committees and commissions, whatever we call them, are a little bit, especially, it's, we get people that are real ambitious, and I hate to see them get frustrated with their efforts.
This might be a good place to start, though, to being Bruce's reporting to this group to, and look things over and formulate some recommendations.
Well, and sometimes it's, it takes a, some issues take a catalyst, and unfortunately it's, you know, in the case of this FBO deal, it's a uncomfortable thing, and it's, you know, some difficult decisions need to be made, but it's also a learning opportunity and gives us a chance to look back and see how we can maybe do things differently and then move ahead, forging a better path based on what we learned. So
I would, just specific to the airport commission, part of the problem is that we've got fragmented management out there. We've got the site manager, Eric, working out there. We've got the administrative side being handled by Megan here, which is the leases, the budgeting, the CIP side, all the FAA, MnDOT Aeronautics contacts. If that could be consolidated into one position like it was in the past, I think you end up with much better management for the airport. Obviously, there are other models you can follow to manage airports, but I do see that fragmentation as contributing to the problem. Also, because the city's had an FBO that just has been loath to consistently provide us with reports or information, you know, I'm sorry to see it's gone on this long, and perhaps there are things that staff could have done in the past to speed this along, but by God, we wanted to give him every opportunity we could under that agreement to perform, and perhaps we just failed by not being hard enough on him in the process.
So back to what we talked about at the last meeting, so then this is now an opportunity to do something different and staff it correctly, and I think that's part of where Andrew was going and what I'm talking about is, you know, so we need to make sure we don't duplicate this,
right,
and then we take the opportunity to end up in a better place.
Yep.
And if that means changing staffing, you know, I think, or that will increase the usage at the airport, increase the revenue at the airport, increase, you know.
Well, I can see a major step if the council goes through with this action on the 6th is for the airport commission to meet very soon thereafter and to put together some recommendations to the council on how to proceed with an FBO RFP, how to deal with the whole issue of airport management. You know, and there are some things, there are some opportunities that could pop up in the next few weeks that can answer some of those questions. And you know, once we get a clean slate, I'm confident we can build something very functional. Because our airport, our community deserves it. We've got a lot of activity out there, and it's a beautiful facility, and it just needs to offer the users every opportunity we can possibly give them.
Larry?
Like in Bemidji and recently in Peoria Falls, they formed regional airports, and I don't know if that's ever been talked about here, where it becomes more of a countywide operation. And I know Thief River is just 2-3 years into it. Bemidji's a little longer into the regional. But many of the regional centers have migrated to something a little bigger. And I don't know, has that ever been talked about or?
It has. We have brought that idea to the county. When we began planning for the new airport initially, we suggested the concept of a joint city-county airport, and the county was quite content to not get involved at that time. Whether or not they think differently now, I don't know. It's a conversation we could have.
We'd love to have Brenda County too, going in, build the airport south of town.
Yeah.
So if, I mean, he doesn't sell planes out there, not anymore.
No.
And he purchases them.
Bruce did, yeah.
So.
Brian never has.
Could you just rent that building out to a mechanic and then have a fixed-based operator, manager, or?
Ideal situation, you'd have a fixed-base operator like Wilmer Air Service that served as the site manager as well. We have a fixed-base operator, a separate site manager, a separate administrations person. And there's just too many chances or too much opportunity for gaps in communication.
What would we do with that building if we don't get a mechanic in there or someone?
We will definitely push for an FBO with mechanics. We've got to be able to offer that out at our airport. And hopefully over time we can even recoup some of the business that's drifted off to other locales.
Tim?
Just an observation on this problem is a learning process, I guess. With all the responsibilities that this FBO contract requires of the fixed base operator, I don't know why we're not requiring, I would strongly suggest that we consider changing this contract to require that they give us, you know, financial statements and earnings statements on at least an annual basis, considering the problems we've had where there, you know, lack of fuel, rent not getting paid on time. These are all signs of financial distress with anybody. I mean, it may not be financial stress. It could be attributable just to poor business habits, you know. And I don't know. But regardless, I mean, those are all, like I say, those are all signals of financial distress. And if we were getting statements and had a better idea what this guy's doing, I don't think they have to be certified, but I think we would require that they sign them as being true and correct, you know. And if we have to, we ask for income tax returns to get a really clear picture of what's going on, you know, if you're not satisfied.
I agree that's a great tool to use in analyzing financial stability. My concern would be when you're dealing with a private business, as soon as he gives us that information, it's in the public realm and we can't withhold it.
I wonder if there might be some data privacy issues with
sometimes
that.
Sometimes you can have a third party.
There might be some data privacy issues to protect that information. Because it shouldn't be public. I mean, I can't go down to the bank and say, show me Bruce Peterson's mortgage application and his bank account. I mean, you know, I can't do that. You know, it's private. And I don't think just because it's public property, it's a private contract with a private individual, and I think he may have some data privacy rights there you could check with.
Okay. Yeah,
I guess. Robert, I mean, that's not something that I don't know the answer, but I mean.
There's got to be a way to do that.
There's got to be. I mean, this is. I mean, you can request it, but I think it's just as valid to say, hey, bring it in.
On an annual basis, just exactly. List that as
I think we
one
do
of
it
the
with the Stingers, don't we?
I could not tell you.
Question, is that the only model? Or, I mean, could they be employees of the city? I mean, could we set this up as a, you know, we're talking about fuel and we're talking about all those things and... You know,
could
would
it be
to
done?
Our advantage to for it to be under the city versus contracting with everyone? I don't know. I'm asking.
I'm uncomfortable with that. Yeah, I got a feeling one way or the other on that, Larry. I mean, could it be done? Probably. It'd be highly unusual for a city to offer mechanical services and FBO services, you know, that go beyond airport management services. You can have somebody that's on site to fill, to pump fuel, and to deal with arrivals and departures and that sort of stuff, but to actually have somebody that's engaged in an airport-based business as a city employee, that would be highly unusual, I would think.
You mentioned before, though, leasing out the building to a mechanic versus having that person.
Well, that's basically what we're doing.
Okay.
We lease the FBO the property, and as part of the payment, he provides services to the city. some of the ramp services and that, so.
For discounted ramp.
Yeah, for discounted ramp.
And the gas is just an incentive for him to do this? Versus us making the money on it?
It's part of a financial package that makes.
Because we get, what, 10 cents a gallon back or 5 cents?
I think we get 10 cents. There's an escalator clause in there, but that's not adequate, you know.
And we can check out some other airports, but like, the reason Thief River and Bemidji have full-time managers is because they have flights. And it's marketing and it's promoting and it's meeting all the requirements, and they have duty to run the emergency equipment, the fire equipment. So I'm not aware of other smaller airports that do anything different than what we do. I mean, Buffalo has one. Maple Lake had their airport was without FBO for quite a while, and I imagine the city was the one that provided the fuel, and it was all credit card and stuff like that.
No, I was just gonna say, is this an opportunity to visit with the people who use our airport to see what they see other places and what they might like to see here?
Well, I think the airport commission is going to have to take that all into consideration. Here's a chance to really give something to the airport commission and say, go with it. You know, there's got to be some structure there for them, obviously, but I don't think they can. They're not going to come back with dumb ideas. They're going to come back with some thoughtful recommendations.
The good news is that based on past precedent, i.e. Wilmer Air Service, that's proof in and of itself that this model can work with the right person, with the right persons and the right business.
Well, we got spoiled.
We really did, because, I mean, nationwide, they put Wilmer on the map.
I think to a certain extent, the city and Wilmer Air Service jointly developed that model and was drawn upon by many other communities. They saw how well it worked here. They weren't all as fortunate as us to have the FBO we had.
So now we have an example of how not to do it?
And one way of how to.
Sorry, but so we gotta get back to doing it right?
Yeah, that's fair.
We will.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We will.
I see positive things for the airport.
Well, that's where we kind of ended last meeting too, is that this make this an opportunity to get where we want to be.
So you have one other item then?
I do. Last year, the city was awarded a grant by the Department of Employment and Economic Development. It was a business development infrastructure grant. We were going to assume ownership of a roadway and parking lot at MnDOT, at MnWest, so they could make improvements and increase parking out there. As we got into that process, it became apparent that the city should not have been the grantee because of the county ownership of a number of parcels out there and some conditions that apply to transfer of some of those properties. To cut to the chase, I'm here to request that the council adopt a resolution foregoing the grant and recommending instead to deed that the county replace the city as the grantee. And this is a process that's all been mapped out by Brad Schmidt, the attorney for MnWest. So this is the step the city needs to take to make that happen.
So the county is willing to do that? And the work is all done?
The work is done. They just need to finalize the paper.
Where did the grant money come from, though?
From the Department of Employment and Economic Development. And we never received any money. We're an end user. We do end user grants. So when MnWest is done with everything, they would provide us with all the construction documentation for us to file with the state. We get the check and cut it right back to MnWest.
So. I just thought it was a city program.
No, it is not.
Thank you.
And it's very similar to the grant program we used for improvements to the McRock building, where the city had to take ownership of that building or have a long-term lease on the structure.
So this is like rubber stamping?
Kind of.
Motion to approve.
For a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Anything else, Rex?
Not for me.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn?
Some of them.
We're done. Thank you.
Everybody enjoy the sun.